Welcome to Licking the Bowl, the story of an appetite with recipes. I'm Erica Lutz, recording from a secret, undisclosed location. Licking the Bowl is a forthcoming book. It's this podcast. It's a memoir with recipes. It's the story of a life recreated. It's my new thing. Episode 10, Eating Meat. This one comes with a little bit of a trigger warning for vegetarians or those squeamish. So as you know, I'm raising chickens. I have 8 pullets who are settling pretty well into laying. I'm getting about 6 lovely eggs every day. And 1 rooster, a rye rooster, meaning he's got some physical issues. He's rather twisted. But hey, life in the barnyard. Part 1, the ethical tongue. Well, what about eating meat? Family members and friends have been vegetarian, pescatarian, ovo-lacto, vegan, on or off, religiously, my whole life. Yet mostly I've been an omnivore, eating all things. But that doesn't mean it's not fraught for me. I believe in eating clean, unprocessed food most of the time. I have strong political and environmental and ethical concerns about eating animals. And I love meat. I've responded to my convictions, confusions, ambivalences in many ways, many times. Whether it's idealistic and absurd or not, I'm just trying to negotiate my way through the maze. For a while, I became a vegetarian. And in some ways, I have to confess, I became a vegetarian to make the man I was seeing, also known as the International Man of Mystery, or as Dan calls him, Flyboy, more engaged with me. He was a beautiful physical specimen of a man who flew planes and helicopter skied and cave dived and rode a motorcycle and raced cars and sailed boats and carried 3 passports legitimately and was far less into me than I was into him. He'd been a vegetarian for 17 years, and despite a chronic vitamin B deficiency, he took the moral high ground. "I don't want to eat animals," he said simply. And that made sense to me. So for a year and a half, I didn't either. I liked being a vegetarian. I felt noble. Ordering at restaurants was much simpler now that there were fewer choices. I didn't think I missed meat. There I was, a recovering porkitarian denialist. So that's when you love animals and also love bacon. Dating a conservationist who flew deep into the Congo to save the elephants. Together we visited a wolf sanctuary in upstate New York. I volunteered at the Oakland Zoo. Well, this had nothing to do with him, but I volunteered at the Oakland Zoo for a year, cleaning hyena and monkey poop, feeding Simon the warthog, and collecting dark teal emu eggs. God, they're gorgeous. And I didn't have to feel conflicted about eating my friends. Then, after seeing each other for 2.5 years, much of it long distance, Flyboy dumped me in a single 20-minute phone call and flew off into the sunset. So ultimately, this was a good thing since it freed me to be available 2 months later when I met Woodman Dan, also fresh out of a relationship. But I didn't know that at the time. I cried for 24 hours, ate coffee, Haagen-Dazs ice cream, watched rom-coms on Netflix, and then I was over him. After all, I was closing escrow on my place in the forest in a month. My new life waited. And oops, after a year and a half as a vegetarian, my vitamin D levels were at dangerously low levels. Now, your results may differ. So I started eating fish and seafood again. Boom, healthier. And then within a year, there I was. I went paleo for a year, eating a lot of meat every day. "Did you see results with that?" my Aunt Julie asked me recently. "Well, I gained 20 pounds," I shorthanded. "Well, those are results," she said. What I didn't tell my Aunt Julie, it wasn't the paleo diet that put the weight on. I didn't eat enough vegetables to go with all my meat. And then I started cheating by adding wheat and some dairy, cheese. And all of a sudden, I was just eating so much all the time, in the middle of menopause, while driving across California 12 hours a week for work. And then there was the cortisone shot I had for a finger infection, and my thyroid meds were off, and shorthand, I got kind of fat. So now I'm an ethicitarian. In other words, I struggle. I want to eat meat. I missed it. I love it. I crave it. But I hate and I don't want to support factory farming or big agribusiness. I love and respect animals and don't want to participate in their suffering. I'm concerned about the environmental impact of ranching, about carbon monoxide from cow farts, about how far up the food chain that piece of salami lives. Yum, guilt. Local and sustainable, 20-mile radius, farm to fork, to outhouse, all that stuff. So ideally, I only want to eat animals that have had as wonderful a life as my beloved and pampered dog, Oso. I want to respect the animal, use the animal well, and not waste the animal's life or death. And I don't want to speed human injury to the earth. I want any animal I eat to know joy, to be supported, to become a doctor or artist, or to self-actualize in its own way, to experience marriage equality and to be read to every night, to be massaged by Sardinian virgins, and then one day, having never known a moment away from its loving family, a stranger arrives on the farm to pay a little visit, and the animal la 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 is led to a quiet place behind the barn, held gently around the neck, and then boom, it's all over, a quick and painless death, all without knowing a moment of fear. No adrenaline in that furry body. Yeah. Well, for several years in a row, Dan and I bought a lamb from a local sustainable organic farm a few miles from our home here. A one-woman operation. I've also bought quarter pigs and lambs from down on the coast, organic and grass-fed and all that wonderful stuff. And then I've schlepped the paper-wrapped packages home in a couple of large coolers. As an ethicitarian, I want to buy meat from animals raised locally, sustainably, happily, organically, as often as I can. I do moderately well at this. But Woodman Dan and I live way up in the woods. It's an hour or more a drive each way to the nearest Whole Foods, and I have issues with that store unrelated to animal welfare anyway. Amazon. The closest supermarket is 25 minutes away, and the closest decent supermarket is 40 minutes away. So sometimes the meat or the chicken is less than happy, and I swallow my guilt and my privilege, and I make dinner anyway. You're listening to Licking the Bowl, the story of an appetite. This is Erica, Licking the Bowl. Sometimes it's literal, sometimes it's metaphorical, always it's delicious. So let me tell you about my visit to the tannery. Because of my interest in nose-to-tail consumption, which is using and respecting the whole animal, the first time I bought a whole lamb, I also requested the hide. So there I was at the tannery, bringing in my salted lamb hide. It was salted by Carolyn, the farmer, not by me. And the hides of the farm's other four lambs. Once prepared, they were going to become these soft, fluffy lambskins to lay infants on or use as car covers or have sex on in front of the roaring fire. Nah, actually, they'd be too small for that. I brought the hides in myself because I wanted to know the whole process and because I'd never been to a tannery before. As a bonus, I saved shipping charges for me and for the farm that raised the lambs. After we completed our business, paper forms in triplicate, no deposit required, a woman named, well, we'll call her Evelyn, led me through the warehouse. She couldn't take me into the tannery itself, she said, because, quote, the floors are slippery. So at that point, I pictured an inferno. Big vats of animal hides boiling in chemicals, steam rising, men in hip waders stirring with huge ladles. When I talked to my dad about it later, he told me that I pretty much had the process imagined correctly. The huge warehouse was piled with stacks of labeled boxes and even bigger stacks of furry pelts. A burly man in a sleeveless t-shirt tossed out skins on long tables and invited me to feel. Otter and sea lion and zebra and buffalo and muskrat, the animals of the world, lay flattened in front of me. I stroked their wonderful fur. Of course they felt wonderful, but they'd have felt much better on the animal. I buried my fingers deep in the pelt of a beautiful Alaskan wolf. Just a year before, at the wolf sanctuary in upstate New York, I'd literally howled with the wolves. I snapped a few quick pictures and thanked Evelyn and Burly Man for their time. On my way out, Evelyn gave me a multi-page price list. It was a thing of wonder and horror. Every possible animal was listed: dik dik, capybara, moose, walrus, tapir. A baboon half mount cost $65. This tannery was where you could get your rhino mounted, $6,550, or your deer scrotum tanned, $9. They'd boil your tusks. They'd mount your oryx. They'd process your ostrich. There were detailed instructions for salting and shipping. They warned you to zip tie the ears. They gave instructions for rehydrating your alligator. And then there was a simple recipe to remove the smell of skunk. And since you were wondering, for $72, they'd tan your dog's hide. Of course, you'd need to skin, scrape, and salt it first. Just going down the list, African tails, $25 to $65. African scrotums, $20 to $60. Good God, I hope they were talking about animals. I headed back to the car, which still smelled profoundly like sheep. At home, I looked it up. This tannery employed 35 people with $10 million revenue in sales. We human beings are a strange, strange species. So, with that in mind, I'm going to give you a recipe for tongue, lamb tongue. Carolyn from Butte Mountain Farm gave me all four tongues from her slaughter one year, three lambs and a ewe. It's a bit disconcerting to look at a plate laid out with four tongues, but carefully washed, then brought to a boil in cold seasoned water, then covered and boiled for more than an hour. It was just enough for a breakfast dish next to eggs. Peeled and trimmed and sliced or chunked, lamb tongue is really a wonderful meat. Trim your lamb tongues, cut off any extra gristle. Combine in a big pot. Cold water, peppercorns, a bay leaf, some fennel seeds, about a half teaspoon. Salt, chopped onion, a couple of stalks of chopped celery, and if you have the tops, that's even better, and some unsalted butter. Bring to a boil and then boil the tongues until they're soft but not falling apart. This is going to take 1 to 2 hours, so make sure you have enough water in the pot to really cover the tongues and keep checking it. It's hard to overcook them. They really need to be on the soft side of chewy. Let them cool before you peel them. You might be able to peel them with your hands or use a paring knife to help you. Slice them thin and then saute the slices very briefly in organic butter, a few sprinkles of salt, and away you go. Licking the Bowl is a Bear Clover Productions production. All recipes and all sorts of other cool stuff at lickingthebowl.com. Thanks so much for listening, and don't forget to lick the bowl.